The exciting high-octane offense of the Kansas City Chiefs taking on that powerful defense of the San Francisco 49ers here in Super Bowl 54. And Juszczyk gets a big play off of it. Hand off here is Mostert. He is in for the touchdown. Mahomes pass behind and picked. Intercepted by the 49ers. Off the arm of Tyreek Hill and into the arms of Tarvarius Moore. Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. 20-yard penalty, a first down. First and goal, pass open, touchdown. Kelce, Chiefs are back in it. Second down and 7, Mahomes, Watkins, what a throw! Sammy Watkins out of bounds near the 11.
Watkins and Richard Sherman one-on-one is just not going to run with him.
Mahomes throws, pass, caught, Williams, touchdown! Kansas City jumps on top. Garoppolo airs it out, Sanders downfield is overthrown. Play clock is... They're going to let the play go. It's not going to matter as Garoppolo now has it knocked incomplete. Down, obviously, now second and 6. Williams makes a cut and will roll into the end zone for the touchdown. No flags. For the Chiefs that have not been able to taste this moment. This is picked. Kendall Fuller up to get it. And that will end this game.
You're listening to the Underdog Podcast by Player Circle. I'm your host, Dre Emerson, and thank you for joining me on this episode. Today, we are talking Super Bowl 54, the hangover, the fallout from it. The Chiefs are immortalized in NFL history as your champions during the 100th season, I want to add. They beat the San Francisco 49ers 31-20. Patrick Mahomes was named the Super Bowl MVP for his performance. He went 26-42, 286 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 INTs. On this episode, we're going to break down his performance specifically because I have a lot to say about that. This is the first Super Bowl for the Chiefs in 50 years. Talking about the game, it pretty much came down to the Chiefs. They weren't playing really good at first. The 49ers was able to do what they wanted to do. They ran the ball. They played great defense. It was keeping everything in front of them. Like, they was not letting no big plays happen through the first 3 quarters. But in the end, Patrick Mahomes, he came alive. This is their 3rd comeback this postseason. And they won the game. He made some great plays. There were some times when you thought that Nick Bosa had him and the Chiefs were down and out. After he threw that interception in the 4th quarter when I think it was about like 7 minutes to go or something like that, you got the feeling like, okay, like this is the first bad game for Patrick Mahomes. And this was a terrible time to have it. And it's costing the Chiefs a Super Bowl. But he was able to flip that resiliency show. He got a touchdown. He made that great pass over Richard Sherman. And then when they got up, it was at that point you just knew, because the ball was going to have to be in Jimmy G's hands to get it down the field. And when they got the ball, they was making strides. But when they got to about half field, things just fell apart. Jimmy G, he looked nervous. He missed Kittle. He missed Sanders. That would have been a walk-in touchdown. And then he took a sack. It was really bad. It just blew up all in their face. They had one more chance. They had all 3 timeouts. And then the Chiefs, they just ran it down their throat. Damian Williamson, he broke free. I think it was on 2nd down, and that was the game. It was a hell of a game. It was really competitive throughout. I really enjoyed it. The ratings have gone up. This was a really good Super Bowl. This was everything we could have asked for. The story with the former MVP, the superstar player, arguably the best quarterback in the game. He was down and out. He was having a really bad game. The 49ers was getting to him. They was getting pressure on him. I think Nick Bosa had like 16 QB pressures. It was an incredible game for him. You saw him crying at the end. And Patrick Mahomes, he was just that man. When they needed him most, he was resilient. He ran the ball. He ran the ball for about 29 yards. But his running was so effective in that game. And he did it when it mattered most. And he made the plays that he needed to with his legs. And it was just a great performance by him. It wasn't a great game altogether. but it was a great performance. So now that we got that out of the way about the Super Bowl, on today's episode, we're going to talk about Mahomes' performance first. And after that, we're going to talk about who's to blame for the 49ers' loss and if Patrick Mahomes is going to get this contract extension during this offseason. I got some thoughts about that. I'm going to give you my early Super Bowl picks. And to close out the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about XFL that's going to be premiering this weekend. But first off, before I get into Patrick Mahomes, I just want to say congratulations to Andy Reid. This is his first Super Bowl win as a head coach. It's his second overall. He won one as when he was an assistant. He's been a head coach since 1999, dating back when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. It took him the longest time to win a Super Bowl as a head coach, taking 20 years. And this win just puts a stamp on a Hall of Fame career for Andy Reid as a coach. He has a record of 207 wins to only 128 loss and one tie. And he finally broke the curse. Not only did he break the curse, Patrick Mahomes broke the curse, the Madden curse. So let's talk about him. So now we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes' performance. For the game, I'm going to give him a solid B of a grade because he did win the game. He made the plays he needed to in the fourth quarter. If not, he would have gotten a C. A solid C because he was bad those first three quarters. Like, it looked like he was pressing. And I told my friend this before the game. We was talking about it, who had the most pressure on them when it came to Jimmy G or Patrick Mahomes. If the Kansas City Chiefs was to come out, Patrick Mahomes come out gunslinging like they usually do and got out to a big lead, then you wouldn't be looking at Jimmy G and being like, oh, this is why we didn't pick you like this. Because you would have said, oh, this is the Chiefs. This is what they do to people. No matter if you have a great defense. But if Patrick Mahomes was to come out and, you know, Jimmy G and they play good and the 49ers got a bid and Patrick Mahomes playing bad, then the pressure was going to be on him immensely. And I think it's fair to say that it was. Like, he was pressing. It just felt like he was pressing. Like, they wasn't able to connect on a lot of those deep passes. And I felt like that was taking him out of his rhythm. Like, they had to dink and dunk the ball and get it in the inside. Because they wasn't able to get those big plays because the 49ers kept everything in front of them. Richard Sherman, he was doing his thing until Patrick Mahomes was finally able to figure it out and he connected with that great play with Sammy Watkins over Richard Sherman. But it's just, he didn't have a great Super Bowl. And I think a lot of people thought that he was going to come out and dominate. But in that fourth quarter, when he fumbled the ball from a Nick Bosa strip sack and then proceeded to throw an interception, I thought the game was going to be over. I thought the 49ers actually won this. But it didn't happen. He was resilient. He showed me that he's the comeback kid. Like, they had three comebacks this postseason, and it's crazy to think about because they was all down. They was down big against the Houston Texans. He ended up with 5 touchdowns, and they won the game by almost, like, 30 points. They was down against the Titans, came back. Down again, down here. They was down 20-10 in the fourth quarter, and Patrick Mahomes made the plays. So I think it's safe to say that he is the best quarterback right now. I'm not going to put him up there like a lot of, those analysts was going out there and trying to say he was like the greatest of all time now already. I'm not going to say that, but he is the greatest quarterback right now. Yeah, I think it's fair to say he's definitely earned it. He came out guns blazing in his first season. They lost an AFC championship, came back. He suffered an injury early, dislocated knee back. He fought back and they got here to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl, and he was almost, I'm not going to say perfect, but he was crazy in that fourth quarter. The plays he made to win that game. On that 3rd and 15, when he had to scramble around and he found Tyreek Hill, at that point, I was just like, yep, Kansas City Chiefs, here they come. So get into who's to blame for the 49ers. I think a lot of people want to jump the gun and say Jimmy G. And I think that's really unfair to him because he had a really good Super Bowl. Like, those first three quarters, he was playing really good. He was killing them with the play action. I think he was at the point he was like 12 for 13. He did have an early pick in the game, but other than that one pick, he was playing great for the 49ers. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He was being a game manager. Now, I think a lot of blame should go to Kyle Shanahan because they didn't run the ball in the fourth quarter when they needed to. Like, I distinctively remember it was a time in the game when it was Chiefs had just scored a touchdown. It was 2nd and 5. They ran the ball effective on the first play. It was 2nd and 5, and they choose to pass. They choose to do a play action pass. They kept trying to do these play action passes that was figured out by the Chiefs defense. And credit to Tyrann Mathieu, credit to Frank Clark, who played great, credit to all those guys back there, Breland. They made the plays they needed to. They saw it. They figured out what the 49ers to do. And to Tyrann Mathieu's credit, because he said this, the 49ers stopped running the ball. So I think it's fair to look at Kyle Shanahan and to say, why didn't you run the ball? Like, this is another lead that they blew in the fourth quarter. If people don't remember, he was the offensive coordinator for the Patriots in that Super Bowl when they played the Atlanta Falcons and they was up 28-3 and they didn't run the ball and the Patriots came back. This is what Kyle Shanahan did again. He made the same mistake. He didn't run the football. Stephen A. pulled up like this amazing stat to me that he was 0-52 in fourth quarters in Super Bowls. Now, this is his first Super Bowl as a head coach, and he did have him in great position. He did dial up the great play for Emmanuel Sanders to break free, split the double on the post, and get down there for an easy walking touchdown, and Jimmy Garoppolo did miss him. Yes, he did. And if you want to blame Jimmy G for that, you definitely can, because he missed him. That last drive when they got to about halfway down the field and he missed Kittle, then he missed Sanders, and then he took the sack. So, I mean, if you want to look at Jimmy G for that, yes. But should he have been in that position? No, because I don't think they would have been in that position had they ran the football. The 49ers defense was feasting on Chiefs all night. They was getting to Patrick Mahomes. They was putting hits on them. They definitely was pressuring the Chiefs. They was outplaying them. They was outworking that offensive line. And you could just tell that the momentum in the game just switched. And once you know that the Kansas City Chiefs are up, that just changed the game plan for you, because they was not running the football at that point. The 49ers running back Mozart and all them boys on the sideline, they was just looking mad. Stephen A. pointed out. Like, they were just looking pissed because they knew they were killing these boys. And the 49ers went away from that. And you have to look at the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, because he is the one calling the plays for the team. So that's how I feel about it. I mean, you can't really go either way. You can blame Jimmy G, but I don't think that the 49ers should have been in that position to begin with had Kyle Shanahan did a better coach performance in that fourth quarter, because it just looked like he was scared and his play calling was scared. I get it. They was killing the play action, but I think they went to the well too many times on it unnecessarily, and when they should have just either ran the ball or get some quick passes for Jimmy G to his playmakers, to Kittle, to Sanders, to Deebo, who was having a great game, and he would have been the MVP. And so I'm so mad about that since he came from USC. That's my guy. I love him. And it's just hard because I was going for the 49ers in this game. And you have to look at Kyle Shanahan more for, especially since this has happened before. This has happened in another Super Bowl. Yes, he wasn't the head coach, but he was the main play caller for them on the offensive side. And they went away from what was working for them. So there's a lot of ways you can look at it. Or, you know, you could just look at it and just say, hey, it was Patrick Mahomes. He made the plays. Maybe we should blame Patrick Mahomes. Maybe the 49ers can do that. It's no taking it back. They lost the game. And now they have to sit on a long offseason and think about it. And now because of Jimmy G's performance, now there's rumors about him, which I think are very unnecessary. Except I don't think the 49ers should just drop Jimmy G now and just get rid of him. Like, he played good. They had a great game plan, and it was working. I think just retool the team. Obviously, they might need to get, you know, some younger faces for cornerbacks. Go. I'm not going to say let Richard Sherman go, but he's getting up there in age. And you want to, when you have an asset like him, you want to, like Bill Belichick, get rid of it and, you know, use it to your advantage before it's no longer an asset for you. That's my thoughts on that. So now we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes and whether he will get this contract extension in this offseason. He is not due for his contract extension now. He can get it, but it don't necessarily have to happen this offseason, because she still has a fifth-year option with him. They also can franchise tag him after that fifth-year option. And the tale of what we know that happens in the NFL is you want to be able to get and make it to the Super Bowl and win it with your quarterback on his rookie deal. Because once you pay the quarterback, everything goes bad. Like, you don't have that money to spend on those necessary positions that you need. And for the Chiefs instance, you have Chris Jones, whose his contract is expiring, and you need to re-sign him. Well, if you pay Patrick Mahomes this big contract and that hits the cap hit, then that's going to mess up money for players like Chris Jones, who's looking for a big deal this offseason, who could sit out. There's a possibility of that. They don't get a deal done. You got players like Damian Williams that you're going to have to eventually pay. Sammy Watkins, his contract is going to be expiring. So do you want to keep the trio of him, Mecole Hardman, and Tyreek Hill intact? Where you're going to have to pay Sammy Watkins, and if you give Patrick Mahomes this big money contract, you're not going to be able to do that. Rashad Breeland, Morris Claiborne, those are two cornerbacks that are contracts expiring. So you're going to have to replace them. You got two players on your offensive linemen and guards that are contracts expiring, so you're going to need to replace them. That's a lot of positions that you need. You need the offensive line. You need some cornerbacks that can cover so that your defensive line gets there. And if you give Patrick Mahomes his money that he definitely deserves, because he is arguably the best quarterback right now. He's the youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl and be an MVP under 25. He definitely has to say, like, hey, I deserve this money. Unlike a lot of quarterbacks out here, like a Matthew Stafford, who made all this big money and haven't even been to the Super Bowl. I don't even think he even won a playoff game. So it's just a tough situation if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, because obviously without Patrick Mahomes, you wouldn't be Super Bowl champions right now, and you want to give him everything that you deserve. You want to say, if you're Kansas City GM, hey, how much money do you want, Patrick Mahomes? Because I want to pay you that for what you did from this franchise. But there's also the risk that once you pay the quarterback, that it detrimentally affects all your team because you're not able to pay those skilled players. You look at a Jared Goff, and though they made some moves and stuff like that, that team is going to be hamstrung because they pay Jared Goff the big money. They pay Gurley. They pay them big money contracts that is going to hit the cap. You're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey. So that team is going to be affected by that contract that they gave Goff, because they were following the model. They was able to get to the Super Bowl with their quarterback on a rookie deal. And you see how this season went for them. Like, they didn't have a great season. Your running back that you paid a lot of money, he didn't look the same. And it's only just going to get worse from there for the Rams, in my estimation, just because you paid those, your two main clogs, all that big money. And for the Chiefs, they need to keep Kelce. They need to keep Tyreek Hill. They need to keep Damian Williams and Mecole Hardman. Like, those are essential players that you need. But Hardman's going to be due for money soon. Williams is going to be due for money. And if you have a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes that's affecting the cap as much as he will be doing, then it's going to have to be some big changes. Like, there's going to have to be some changes for that Kansas City Chiefs, especially if they're going to want to make it to the Super Bowl, because it's a team effort, and you got to have the perfect team built around Patrick Mahomes. And like he said in his post-conference, like, he was put in the best situation, like, as a quarterback. Like, he has all these pieces while he was on his rookie deal. But now, as his rookie contract is, you know, expiring, and he's gonna want his money, you know, you're gonna think, like, is he gonna take this discount for them so that he can keep this team intact? Because, you know, in his interviews, he's all about team. He's always praising his players, so it gives you a little thought to maybe that he actually would give the Kansas City Chiefs a discount. But you never know, because you never know with these quarterbacks. They want their money, they know they're deserving of it, and they only have a short window to make that money. Curious to see what all of you other thinks about that. So tweet at us at Player Circle. Let us know how you feel about that. Do you think Patrick Mahomes should give the Chiefs a team friendly discount? Or, and my other question would be, do you think that the Kansas City Chiefs should give Patrick Mahomes all that big money, knowing that the potential risk is hampering their team down the line? Let me know what you think in the comments, because I'm curious to see what all you guys think about that. All right, switching gears from that Patrick Mahomes talking about his contract, we're going to get into early Super Bowl picks. And as well, like I said, from talking about Patrick Mahomes' contract, tweet at us at Player Circle. Let us know, who do you have making a Super Bowl? I'm curious to see who are you guys thinking that's going to be in the, you know, on the grandest stage next season. But my early Super Bowl picks right now will be the Kansas City Chiefs returning to the Super Bowl. I think that if the Kansas City Chiefs can keep this nucleus that they have intact, that they can make another run in the Super Bowl. And you see the defense is steadily improving. So as long as you have that defense steadily improving with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be making noise in the playoffs. So I have them, I have them back in the Super Bowl playing against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know a lot of people who know me personally think that this is me trolling, this is me being a homer, but I do see the Dallas Cowboys being in the Super Bowl. Like, it's no question that they have the talent. Like, everybody says it. All the analysts, you watch the eye test. They have the talent. They have the running back. They, Ezekiel Elliott, who's arguably top two running backs in the game. You have Amari Cooper, who's arguably a top 10 wide receiver in the game. And you have Dak Prescott, who's arguably a top 10 quarterback in the game. So you have those three key pieces right there. You got, you know, the big three, just like the old days with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, playmaker Michael Irvin. You got those three clogs right there. You got a great defense in DeMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith, Vander Esch, who's going to be coming back. You're going to have to pay Byron Jones. You still have Chidobe Awuzie. You're going to have to, you know, get a better safety, because I know they've been trying to do that these past couple years in replacing Jeff Heath. But you're going to have to lock down and in this offseason get you a solid safety that can hold it down, because Jeff Heath, I love him as a player, but he's at times let me and other Dallas Cowboys fans down for his play. Nevertheless, like I said, Dallas Cowboys, they have a top five talent. And Dak Prescott, he showed an improvement this season. He had career numbers. Zeke, he definitely got churning back. Because, you know, they had a rough start with him and his contracts talk and sitting out. But he got back churning around the second half. But it just all failed. And it came down to Jason Garrett and his play calling. It was just horrible play calling. Like, everyone knew it was Jason Garrett's time. Like, he's ran his course. So with a fresh face and Mike McCarthy, I do see the Dallas Cowboys get into the Super Bowl, because Drew Brees, he's getting older. And they had their chances. They had three chances, three back-to-back seasons that they could have been in the Super Bowl. So you got to think about how that's going to weigh on the team. Like, the first time they had, it was the Minnesota Miracle. They had to come back, fight back, and then they lost because they didn't get a pass, an obvious pass interference call. And then on this third game, they got beat by Kirk Cousins. So you got to wonder about how that's going to be affecting the team and how they're going to be going forward. Alvin Kamara, he didn't look like himself without Mark Ingram. So you got to think about that and how that just that offense is going to look, because they've still yet to get Drew Brees, other than Michael Thomas, like those pieces that they can go to in games. They had Etienne Jr., they had tight ends, you know, but you need a real solid number two guy. And until then, I think that, you know, the New Orleans Saints, I think their time is just ran out. I think their window is officially closed. And that falls with Drew Brees, who's going to be likely either retiring after this season, or he could be retiring now and going into a career in the broadcast booth because his contract is expired. 49ers, I don't think they will make it back to the Super Bowl. They have a great chance. I see them and the Dallas Cowboys facing off to an NFC championship. But teams like Seattle, teams like the Rams, teams like the Eagles, I'm not worried about really no other teams other than the Eagles in the NFC East. The NFC South, the Panthers, I think they're going to have a bad year with Cam Newton, especially if they let him go. And it's going to be a sort of like a rebuild year, and you don't know what you're getting. You don't even know who's going to be at quarterback right now. So Atlanta Falcons, they definitely could retool this offseason and get back to the Super Bowl, but I don't see it happening. And Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, I feel like those teams are flawed. I don't really see no other great choice other than Dallas Cowboys representing the NFC. And that's just my honest opinion about that. Now, for the AFC, I would have said the Baltimore Ravens, but I got to see how they're going to improve in the offseason. I want to see if they're going to give Lamar Jackson some better offensive weapons. And if they do, then I will have them in Super Bowl, because I feel like as much as Patrick Mahomes, and he'll be lauded as the great quarterback right now, Lamar Jackson is just as electrifying. And what he does with his legs, it's like what Patrick Mahomes does with his arms. And he's coming along as a passer. So the Baltimore Ravens are definitely dangerous, and they have that defense. And they have John Harbaugh, who's arguably another, you know, elite-level coach. He's going to be a future Hall of Fame coach one day. All right, we're closing out the show today. We're going to be talking about the XFL that is going to be premiering this weekend. This is the second time it's around under CEO and Chairman Vince McMahon. They had games Saturday that will start Saturday and Sunday. The eight teams that they have in the XFL, they will play a 10-week regular season and a 2-week postseason, consisting of two semifinal playoff games and a championship game that will be on April 26th. And I just think it's awesome that we still have football around after, you know, obviously the NFL is wrapped up and they're going into their offseason. We're still going to have some football games going on. We also got basketball. MLB is going to be starting up. And we still got hockey. So we're going to have like all the four major sports. Even though the XFL is not, you know, the NFL, we're still going to still have football around. I mean, that's pretty fun. I think it's going to be really exciting to see their different rules. They're pitching a fan-first game. They're going to think of imaginative ways that they say that they're going to get fans involved. And they're going to be true to the foundations of football. So it's going to be crazy to see with a lot of their different things that they're going to be doing. I think it's going to bring a lot of great play. And I think there's just a lot of excitement about it. I know me personally, like I said, I'm excited to still have football around after the Super Bowl. And I don't know too much about the teams and the players that's on it, but I have high hopes for it. I think they're going about it right this time around. They're going about it as not like promoting it as like some ultra violent, you know, sport. Like it's just going to be, it's going to be football. It's going to be like no gimmick. And when I say that, like no gimmicky ultra violent, it's going to be just football. And I think it's going to be good to see. Thank you for listening to the show today. Make sure you follow us at Player Circle on Twitter. And thank you for Anchor for giving us this platform to do these podcasts. It's been real fun today talking about the Super Bowl because it is one of the memorable Super Bowls I think I'll remember because this could be the potential start of a dynasty for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you have Patrick Mahomes, as long as they don't get hamstringed by a big contract with them, I think they have potential to, you know, make back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. As long as no other teams get in their way like the Baltimore Ravens, or we're going to see what the Tennessee Titans and the Patriots do, obviously. We're going to see the Steelers come back, the Browns with all their moves. But Kansas City Chiefs will definitely be at the AFC, and I think they're going to be the early favorites for the people to win the Super Bowl again. So it's been fun. It's been real. Thank you for listening again, and make sure you follow us. Stay in tune. We're going to have a lot of new things coming out soon. And thank you for listening. It's been fun. See you guys soon.